Welcome to the Local Point. My name is Andrew Day and I'm the Conservative Group Leader at Warwick District Council. This is an informal kitchen table conversation with people who are shaping the policies and programs touching lives right across the district. Together we'll be thrashing through some of the real issues we're working on that affect all corners of our local community. Welcome, guys. That has been an amazing month. We've had local elections and the world has woken up as spring has arrived in glorious Leamington Spa. And today I am very fortunate to have two incredibly experienced, long-serving councillors and in Councillor Judy Phelps and Councillor Alan Bode. Welcome to you both. Welcome to the Local Point.
Hi.
Hello.
And you found One Mill Street. it's a bit quiet out there at the moment. Normally on a Friday afternoon, we've had, you know, all sorts of interesting competitions going on whilst we've been recording previous editions of this podcast. Well, we've had local elections, but I actually would like to spend a moment before we get into talk about our vision for the future to talk about what got you into local government and particularly into many levels of local government. Now, just to be clear, I'm going to go to Judy first, who's a triple hatter. Judy, do you want to explain what that is and how you got started?
It's all three levels of local government, which is a town, district and county. Mm-hmm. I started on the town council 28 years ago. And the reason I started was I felt the school where I was a governor had not got a local councillor on its governing body, where the other schools had, and I thought that was unfair. So I chatted to a long-standing councillor, Councillor Bernard Curtin, who many of you will know, and he said, well, you know what to do. He said, stand yourself, and then you'll have a councillor on the governing body. But it's like anything, you go on with one cause and end up doing so much more. So about...
it's addictive, isn't it?
It is. And then I've been on the district council for 20 years and again took over from Councillor Peter Jackson, who was ill. And then when I retired from the county council library service, Councillor Curtin was ready to stand down. So I went on to the county and I've been there on 6 years now.
So you actually worked as a county council employee and then became a county councillor once you'd retired as an employee. That must have given you a really good insight, I guess, Judy.
Yeah, it was really good. And I think some officers sort of took a double take
when
they walked into the room and I was there because I could challenge, I think, in a good way because I knew what I was talking about in certain departments, not all departments, because I wasn't in them all. It was, I never intended doing county. It just sort of happened. Mm. It's hard work doing three.
Yeah, it must be, just even keeping any evenings to yourself. I'm thinking about all the committee meetings. But before I come to you, Alan, I just want to bottom this out a little bit. So Whitnash is your manor, as they say, and very much. And the joining up between town, district and county, it must give you a good chance, if you've got three hats in a way, to try and knit those different, because there's quite distinct areas of responsibility for those three levels. Just want to explain a little of that and how maybe that's been a helpful thing to be a triple hatter.
Yeah, and because it's Whitnash Residents Association, so there's all 15 of us are on the town council. Things are raised at town council and can the three district councillors please look into this? Mm. And we do, and depending on what it is, which one of us takes it. It's a county council issue. Councillor Fowke, can you contact the county for us on this? And same with policy. I know from being a town councillor what Whitnash want to do, which I can then take into district and then take into county. So it just flows. It works really well. Mm. And other way, I come back from county meetings or district meetings and say, this was decided. I think it will impact Whitnash this way, good or bad. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you want me to say at the next meeting? And so it just works up and down.
That's interesting. And again, a very, very focused on a place, on Whitnash in particular. But before I let you go there, what you also served as a cabinet member with me in the last administration. after some years being a shadow for that particular captain. What was that like?
Well, after 16 years in opposition, it was interesting.
Yeah.
To suddenly become a portfolio holder, a lot of work.
You had COVID. You were health and community protection.
Oh yes, yeah, we had everything had thrown at us. Everything COVID.
So you had 16 years of training to warm up for that moment. Yeah. You get in the job, and bang, you get COVID.
Brexit, because that Brexit, altered rules on things like what came into Coventry Airport, which we have to deal with. It did help having been the shadow portfolio for a long time. Yeah. I could hit the ground running.
Yeah,
it's such a big area. I think until people realise.
You could see that. You could see that through the period. Yeah. Just you were steady. You knew where to go. Yeah, you knew who to turn to, and it really made a difference.
And the health. There's a lot to do with health.
Yeah.
A lot to do with working with partners, both through the crime work and health work. Lots of meetings during the day. Mm-hmm. You know, there's very rare a week goes by when you're not meeting somebody in from Coventry and Warwickshire Hospital or the Crime Commissioner, or very, very busy, but it did help. I've done it for a while. If you can say you enjoy it, it's not quite the word, is it? I got a lot of satisfaction out of it. I've got a fantastic team there, which really helped. I enjoyed it. But I did 16 years before as opposition, so back to being in opposition again.
And a new set of challenges ahead. We'll come back to that and talk a bit more about that in a moment. But Alan Bode, thanks for joining us today. Your manor, in inverted commas, is definitely Lillington, but more broadly, Leamington. You're presently, again, I believe, a town councillor, and you're also the leader of our opposition groups as far as the district council's concerned. What got you into local government? Where did this start, and how long have you been a councillor?
Well, back in the early 70s, a friend of mine went to university at Liverpool.
Right.
And while there, he got elected to the city council.
Wow.
And then in various general elections, in the general election 74, we had two elections.
Mm-hmm.
I went into Liverpool and worked up there for the election. I thought, well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Okay.
So I then came back here and said, yeah, I can do public life. Why? I want to help people, give them the lift up where they're being pressed down by whoever.
Mm.
And I think I must have stood for elections about six times before I elected in different parts of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eventually went back to my home hunting ground, where I'd lived since I was 11. And it was a three-member ward. And in the first election, I remember we didn't win it. The Conservatives won it from Labour.
Mm-hmm.
But all nine candidates, was only 200 votes top to bottom.
Wow.
So we just worked, took the county seat 2 years later, and then took the district seat. And it's always a laugh because my majority was 88, mm-hmm. and my wife, who wasn't my wife at that stage, she got in by 11 votes.
Right.
So, but ever since then, she's always beat me at the elections in the votes.
Okay. So it's a bit of is there a score on the door? So
yeah,
to speak,
there is.
In the Bode household.
Every count, we're really looking at where we come to see what's there. But now, yeah, I'm just starting my 37th year on the district.
And your mayor, is that correct?
Mayor of Roelampton Spa, and I was mayor 30 years ago.
And you've been chairman certainly once during my time.
Chairman of district council once. I always resisted it because I saw it as being the place where the lead party just wanted me out of the way because I have a bit of a reputation.
Oh, yeah, but you came back with full force in the year that followed, if I remember right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Don't use a broadsword, use a stiletto, far better.
But your passion too, and my most personal engagement with you, has been around planning and the planning committee. We've served on the planning committee together. It was always fun. And you taught me an enormous amount, actually, about both how to behave on the planning committee, what you can and can't do, but also how you approach reaching some sort of resolution and decision. So it's a tough role because it is a judicial role in a way.
Yeah, I mean, that's strange because I avoided the planning committee like the plague.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And then it started getting more interesting with the bigger applications coming up, like the Gateway.
Of course.
It was probably the biggest one I had, and I actually got into liking it.
Yeah.
And then my wife got really bored when we passed that one and we're driving along and we passed that one.
Yeah, you're picking them out.
You're picking them out.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, will you? So, and then really got involved in planning and I enjoy it.
Yeah. And you did 4 years now as chair of planning. Yeah. That's a mighty job. And particularly, one of the consequences of COVID, which people probably didn't appreciate at the time, was everyone was at home putting in their planning applications for extra studies and home extensions. And I think they went up by a third.
Yeah, it got very busy. Fortunately, only about, 18% come to the committee. So,
but you were still sitting an extra night in the cycle, were you?
It was two nights.
Yeah.
We've got a bit more civilised now.
Very good.
But it's interesting because we always allow for a break.
Mm.
It's about 8 o'clock,
but
we're all getting old and we can't always get from 6 to 8. so we have been known to be 7:30 or 7:20.
Very good.
And when you announce it, nobody really wants it, and all of a sudden the whole lot's gone.
Yeah.
So we've reflected things that have moved on.
Yeah, but it's a sign really of what a great place this is, that there's so much interest in living here and therefore for more houses and more community facilities. So our planning committee's been a really key engine room for getting all
That's true. And I said at mayor making, it's unusual for the previous mayor to be a Leamingtonian to be taken over by another Leamingtonian,
because
there aren't that many of us around nowadays.
Okay.
So all these incomers, you know.
Yeah,
a nuisance.
Yeah, I know it says the Australian, but I don't live in Leamington, so there you go.
I'm a Leamington girl, although I represent Whitlash. I'm Leamington born and bred, so...
Well, it is our main town, and I sometimes need to remind people examining issues in Leamington that it actually is as interesting to people in Bishop's Tatchbrook or Whitnash or Lillington and so on coming into Leamington for all the facilities and parks and other public benefits. You know.
Yeah, that's true. What I do get annoyed about is where people are saying, oh, the town's in decline, the council's not doing anything about it.
Mm.
But the council only owns a town hall, and the town council only owns a war memorial.
Mm.
So actually the shops coming and going are down to the investment companies, insurance companies, who don't see that there's been a recession and keep their rents up, and the rents are incredibly high.
They are. And the town's evolved so much, and I know planning's got a part to play as we look to the new local plan as to what the future might be with, you know, more residents possibly living in Leamington, and dare I say whether or not the parade is pedestrianised in inverted commas, or should I say made into a urban public open space might be a better term.
Pedestrianisation is somewhat controversial. I'm not one who's in favour of it, because people from my patch, you know, the older people, they can't walk. When we had the COVID lockdown and the parade was closed, they found great difficulty in actually getting to Tesco's, which was a commercial break there.
No, it's the big...
It was a major food store, and they were struggling to get there, and they couldn't really cope with the buses stopping around Christchurch Gardens.
Yeah.
Known as Top Park to those who aren't Leamingtonians.
Top Parks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are trying to encourage people out of cars. Mm. You know, we're doing what we can. I work, I'm on a bus task and finish group, one of the best I've ever been on at the county, looking at ways to encourage people onto buses. And we've done, can't think of what it's called, where you can actually get reward points, can't you, for... something how you move. But what you've got to remember, some people do need cars, and the cars have got to go somewhere.
Mm.
So if you close the parade, and I'm for and against, I've not really made my mind up, really, but it's got to go on the other two roads. The way Leamington is built, to get from north to south, you've got to cross a river.
Of course you do.
So, and there's residential on both of the other roads. So we've got to come up with a way of if we close the parade, of not having such an impact. I think years ago, and I don't know if I still got the paperwork, they were talking about, you know, Northern Leamington Relief Road and a...
SLAM!
South
Leamington Action.
South Leamington Relief Road. Ideally, we want everybody not to drive cars, but, you know, if you live in rural Warwickshire...
It's got to have provision for cars. It's also got to have provision, as I've often said, for places so you can store your bikes when you cycle in, or your mobility scooters or whatever it is you're coming. The interesting piece is, and I think, Alan, you've raised this before, is that the parade whilst it's a long sort of spine road, it's also got different sections to it. There is quite a distinct area outside the town hall and the end of Holly Walk, and how that could be looked at differently.
Yeah, well, I'd love to. I keep floating that I want to have... Everyone talked about Leamington having a square. And they said it was outside the parish church. Well, you know, it's got cars going through. That's not a square. No. My idea of a square is actually you take the bottom of Regent Grove.
Yeah.
And you stop the roads going straight through and you create the square from just above the toilets. And you actually get a very big square there that you could do all kinds of actions, activities, any time without having to close the road. And I think that if we want to do something transformational and something you can see, by do it by actually putting a square in there, which it won't be done quickly, it will cost money, but it actually you can see we're changing. I think that's important.
It's about creating a place or a space that then you can do other things in as well. And I think we're it's seeing it really in as a package of benefits and uses. But Alan, you serve on the Leamington Transformation Board and continue to serve on that, so which is marvellous news. We've now got a body, haven't we, that we all agreed and is continuing on to actually bring all three levels of local government together and other agencies and other BID and other groups to actually focus on how we go about trying to regenerate and transform Leamington.
Yeah, we do. I get some frustrated on it because it's not moving fast. So you've been an awful lot of talking and a bit of showing, and we do an exercise like the Mini Holland.
Yeah.
And I think I've said to you in the past, the only thing that's going to be Mini Holland about this parade is my tie, which I bought in Holland. It's covered in bikes. And unfortunately, that's proved to be true. As you know, the second bid was put in and the government had pulled the money before we put the bid in.
Yeah.
So it was never going to happen. Yeah. But it's got ideas. But I have to say, having seen how the Dutch ride their bikes and take no prisoners, it would be a different world.
Yeah.
But coming back to what Judy said about buses, if you want people on buses, they have to have a reasonable alternative that they can do, which is reliable. I have to say, in my patch, North Leamington and the Cummington area, people can actually, they've got bus passes, but they all own cars and they get into town with the car. Because in our neck of the woods, the buses get taken off like there's no tomorrow. Shorter drivers, we take them off.
Not reliable, are they?
Just not reliable. And the issue you've got is if you go to catch a bus, because they're not reliable, has it gone? Or is it coming?
Do you get that in Whitnash as well?
No, well, Whitnash is very lucky. And again, to our praise, ex-late councillor Bernard Curtin, we've got probably the best bus route in Warwickshire. Mind you, it used to be every 6 or 8 minutes, and I think it's every 12 or 14 now.
I'm dreaming of that.
Yeah, but they're regular, and they not so many at night time, but there is a bus at 11:30 at night, you know, if people are in town.
Okay.
And it really, thanks to Bernard's lobbying, that we've got that. And because we've got that, I appreciate other people haven't got it. So I think Alan's wife is on the Task and Finish group with me at the county. And I think Sarah says 1 an hour. And you've actually got to go in and then get a bus straight back again. Otherwise, you might not get back. And instead, we're trying to get real-time information. You can download it onto an app, but not everybody has phones that do apps. But we're trying to get real-time information on bus stops. It's like everything, you need funding for it.
Yeah.
But, you know... time. If I want to go to Shire Hall on the bus from where I live, yes, there's one every 10, 12 minutes. It'll take me about 40 minutes. If I go in the car, I'll do it in 10. So that is an issue where, because to make them profitable, they go all around here, there and everywhere, people won't go on them because they take too long. And rightly so, the operators say it's a business. We've got to make money. I'm really pleased with the news that they're extending the reduced fares. Because people have said to me, people who don't yet qualify for a bus pass because of age or disability, it's great. We can now go to Stratford, you know, for £4. We can go to Stratford and then go on to Banbury. And it is encouraging some people back. And there's also a great scheme called InGo Plus, which the County Council have launched for people from Hatton, that area, where you can actually book a bus, probably, you know, 20 minutes all time.
Yeah, and it's like a response. It's,
yeah, service. It's a response one. It's like a, yeah. like a an Uber or a bus. And again, same thing. You can usually pass on it for free.
Yeah.
And some of the councillors, we went actually on the ride to Hatton, to Kenilworth, and, you know, do you mind if we don't stop in so and so? Give you a bit longer in Kenilworth. It's a fantastic service.
That's good.
And it's hopefully replacing regular buses. Yep. You know, it's responsive one.
It's trying to get thinking ahead, isn't it? I mean, one of the things that surprised me during the Commonwealth Games. Do you remember those little pedalos that the BID put on, ostensibly to take people from the Pump Room Gardens up into the parade? It's people quite like getting on them, and they were taken all round in round the gardens. They were off into Jefferson Gardens, and they were off. You know, and I think we've got to be in the advent of potentially autonomous travel. You know, where you'll literally be dialing up, and pods will come and so I'm told. I mean, I won't see it, but who knows? Change does happen rather in big lumps, doesn't it? Big jumps rather than. And it could be that your point is that we'll be able to get around Leamington in different ways more easily than we might have, you know, not necessarily going back to the trams. Although
I was looking forward to the trams. I've actually seen one. the tram museum, they have a carriage there.
Okay.
Light Right Rail, which Coventry are trying to do.
VLR, yeah.
Look absolutely fantastic.
Mm. Battery-operated.
Yeah, battery-operated. Have about 40 people on, I think.
Yeah.
I think what's coming up is a trial from Coventry Railway Station to where IKEA used to be.
Yeah.
At the moment, they're just testing that the tracks can take lorries.
And it's easy from an engineering point of view to get in. It's a low impact, easy to install. Mm. It's not as expensive as the metros and so on. But there's got to be ways we can look at local, how we get about in and around Leamington, as well as Warwick, for that matter. Coming back, though, if I could, to the we've had a big change, obviously. Council elections occurred. I think I'm now the remaining Conservative councillor in the Warwick and Leamington constituency. Now the boundary changes are going. I'm the last of the Mohicans. Don't worry, I'm not going to get a haircut to reflect that. But we did have a big turnover, if I'm right. Was it like 50%?
Yes, 50% change.
Turnover. So we've got a whole group of new councillors that we've all been doing our training again. I can't imagine how many times you've both done the code of conduct training, for example. You probably can mouth along the words as you do, but how are you seeing this? I mean, we had our first new council meeting. I mean, we've got, I mean, for me, the wonderful thing was the number of people who actually stood for election, because you get a lot of banter, some of it, you know, challenging as to whether we've got brown paper envelopes or whether we're doing this or doing that. My answer has always been there is a democratic process. If you don't like what's being done, vote at the very least, or even better, stand and become a councillor yourself and bring about some change if you're not happy. Now, maybe I shouldn't have said that. but the point here is with 50% change and a pretty good turnout, if I'm reading the board.
It was low.
Was low. Some areas, I mean, Milverton was 45% or something outrageous. I mean, I don't know what Bill and the team are doing there, but they're managing to get a good turnout. Bishop's Tashrup was 33%, I think, something like
that. Was 29%, which was quite low for us because we normally get about 32,
33.
Yep. But we had a lot more. Normally we have two or three people against us.
Yep.
We had my group's three and 10 others.
Uh-huh.
So I think that helped, you know. It discouraged. I know some people said, you know, when they saw the big long paper, and especially those with the postal vote, said, you know, it almost put us off. There were so many people to vote for, but we voted for you anyway, Julia. So that's fine. That's fine then. So,
but you weren't elected your first election, were you?
Not for district.
No.
I stood about 20 odd years ago, and I didn't get on the first one. I thought, well, that's it then, you know, I'll just stick with town. But a friend of mine who actually works at the count, has done for years, said, oh, that's fantastic, you've got 1,000 votes.
Mm.
And I think I was beaten by 300.
Mm. 1,000 votes?
She said, that's wonderful, you know, and it wasn't for a political party, it was for Witness Resident Association. Mm. And I thought about it and I thought, she's right.
Mm.
1,000 people said, yes, you know, we want you. 18 months later, the person who did get the seat left, or was encouraged to leave. I stood again and got in and been there ever since. Mm. So I was saying to somebody earlier on, you know, don't give up. Mm. If you didn't get on the first time and you really want to be a local councillor, keep trying.
Yeah.
I only had to try once more and I got on.
Yeah.
But I know some people have stood a few times, as I think Alan said, before you actually get on.
Indeed.
So if it's something you really want to do and you feel you can make a difference...
Mm-hmm.
That's
a good message for all those who weren't elected. Mm. I mean, Alan, you had a similar experience, motivated by your friend in Liverpool, but you stood a few times.
Well, that's right. I mean, the issue with this election in the Lillington area was no one else put any literature out.
Right.
So it was a very surreal election. I mean, they were just banging out the stuff. And it was only just 10 numbers of election.
Yeah. It gets very tactical, though, doesn't it? I mean, there were certain wards that were the focus, and I think Mighton and Heathcote got, I don't know how many rounds of literature off, you know, all sorts there.
Mm.
There was a few Facebook posts around that. But again, it is a numbers game at the end of the day, isn't it, politics? Mm. But it was also interesting as far as the results go, because it demonstrated to me, and I think you said in council, Alan, that the residents were supporting a very mixed council, no overall control. I mean, we were the largest group last time with 16. The Greens are now the largest group with 14. You know, you picked up some, Labour picked up some. So it's not like the community's saying we want to back one party or another. That's the way I'm reading.
No, I mean, that's why we were pushing very hard for a rainbow coalition, because the public have clearly said that we don't want any of you, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a matter of how to work out what would be best in the interest of the district. And certainly I had discussions with all the group leaders and was a bit surprised when everyone stopped talking to me and it turned up with a Labour and Green coalition. So we'll see where it is. As far as we're concerned, the door is always open.
Yeah.
If they can't cope with it, it's always open. We're happy to look forward to it. But it had to be all parties.
We had a good experience, I would say this, but in the last council, of working in a cooperative way, putting the big P in politics to one side and focusing. And we did things across the whole district. I mean, the health hub is underway in Lillington, the civic centre's done in Whitnash. There have been, you know, we advanced the work to be done in Packmoors for a community centre there, which is going to come forward, obviously, in more detail in the next year or so. And every part of the district, I like to think, benefited from the work we did cross-party in the last council. So I was kind of hoping, too, that there might be something that was more cross-party in outcome. But we'll see. And it's early days for this council.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
I was just worried about the lack of experience in local government. Not experience in their life. I'm sure, you know, they've come from backgrounds where it'll really, you know, help. And I like to see new blood anyway, because I think they bring new ideas. But I was concerned that the administration now has got very little experience in local government. And it is a different beast. I think Alan would probably agree with me, having done it a long time. It's not just like going from one business to another. It's not, certainly on the finance side. I still think some people don't understand local government finance, but
it's upside down and back to front.
Yeah, and that's why. And I did say to the Greens, I'm worried about your lack of experience and Labour, and all the experience is now on the opposition side, which in some ways is good for us opposition. But why, when you've got a whole wealth of experience, aren't you using it?
Mm.
But that's their choice. Their choice to go as they have.
It is, and I even today, having conversations, briefing and trying to explain and help, if you like, the administration come to terms with their new portfolios and responsibilities. And thinking back, when I didn't expect to be leader, as you know, so there was a very steep learning curve for me. But you supported me. I mean, I did ask for help, and it came. Mm. So I think there's a lot more than maybe our residents realise cooperation that is possible. Particularly if you're focusing on public benefit. And if you do that, if that's the point that the argument's about, then you invariably come back with the right answer. If you focus on petty score score making, then you don't, in my view. But look, where do we, ambition-wise, we've got some pretty big things on the table. We've got, for example, a commitment we've all made to get the council to be carbon neutral by 2025. Now, there was a huge amount of work done in the previous administration, but that's a number that's got to be hit in 18 months. So what do you think? Are we going to get there?
Well, what we've suggested, because it is serious, is that we needed to have an advisory group, an advisory committee, full-blown committee in public, and pull in people who know what they're talking about.
Because there's a lot of talent outside.
There's an awful lot of talent which can be used.
Yeah.
And the feeling we got with the last administration, which can be resolved this time, there would be people on this committee who can actually do research and say, is that the right option or not?
Yeah.
Are we barking up the wrong tree?
Yeah.
And I think that's the only way we're going to get to net zero, because buying carbon offsets isn't getting anywhere.
We need
to get that. So I think we need to bring that up, probably at the next council meeting, to get discussions talking, because it will take till September, October to get it up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be an advisory committee, and it will advise the portfolio holder for getting energy costs down, I think it's going to be called, which is ridiculous. But that's where the work can go on and actually get things done. I mean, why aren't we putting solar panels on the spa centre now as a starter and doing other things? There's plenty we can do, which are relatively easy wins. Mm. We all require money, but we've got the money there. Although, if you believe there's a black hole in the economy, then I find it a bit strange that you have an administration where you've got one side of it voted with me to put the rates up and the other side voted for the black hole, apparently. And it'll be interesting to see how they square around that circle.
I think too, once they've been through the finance training, I think they'll have a better appreciation about really what is there and what isn't there. And I'm not wishing to score any points, but it's very easy to grab a headline. I think the facts don't support that headline. That would be my view. But having said that, it is complex. Local government finance is always moving, and you've got to be on it. And I'm conscious too, around the climate emergency, that if we end up buying carbon credits, then that's taking money out of something else that we could be doing to deliver public benefit. So we should be focusing on what measures, like the ones you've articulated, that will get us there. And it is perfectly feasible. The plan was done. We know what we've got to do. But the clock's ticking now.
I thought we, and I may be wrong, but I thought we said right from the start, this is not about buying carbon credits anywhere else. This is about actually doing things in our district. Mm-hmm. And I have already spoken to the Greens about ambitions we've got in Whitnash to become carbon neutral and work we need to do. But we can't do it on our own. We're a small town council,
Got lots of SIL money, though.
Well, no, we haven't. We didn't get the SIL money. Well, we did get our new centre, but then we had to take out a £250,000 public works loan, which has to be paid off every year, which, again, for a very small town council.
Yeah, it was a big job.
It's a big job and it's difficult. And I can openly say we budgeted for £8,000 for our electricity bill for the centre, and it was £18,000 because of the way the prices have gone up. We need, we need to look at ways we can cut our expenses on that. So, in that way, I think we're coming from the same way, what we want to do as a town, what we want to do as a district. But you've still got to pick the bins up, and you've still got to look after the parks, and you've still got to do... It's very easy to say we want to make this as a priority, and I think we'd all agree with it. But you've still got to do the statutory things.
Of course you do. And actually, I mean, one of the projects, as you know, is about converting our diesel waste collection vehicles to hydrogen, to predominantly hydrogen. Mm. And the business case has been prepared that demonstrates that if we build a hydrogen hub based on green hydrogen, that is that using solar, because there's some new solar farms being approved, you put them through the planning, they've had the tick, but we can take that energy, put it through a hydrogen hub and use that hydrogen at less expense than running our vehicles on diesel. So we get a win-win. We save money and we reduce our carbon emissions.
But the problem you've got is that the number of commercial vehicle manufacturers who are switching away from hydrogen and going electric Yeah. As they say, it's more effective what they're doing.
No.
And, you know, there is always a downside to hydrogen. We support hydrogen, as you know, all the way through.
Yeah.
But we now have our doubts, and that's where this committee can have a look.
I agree. And it needs a challenge. The point, though, is that where you can achieve that sweet spot of saving money and reducing carbon, go at it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we get the advisors in. It's got to go through scrutiny, and it will have to be. But there are. It's an obvious opportunity to look at something like
that.
It is.
It's not that efficient, though, because you take the hydrogen and use the hydrogen to do the generators to get the electric back for the truck.
Mm.
It's all a matter of working out.
It's the distance of the vehicles and reliability. When you're on, it's how far they've got to go to get to the materials recycling facility. Believe me, you'll see the paper coming out.
Yeah, it's not easy. Not easy.
It's not an easy one. Mm. But they're the nuts to be cracked, really. Mm.
But remembering that we've got statutory functions, certainly in the portfolio I had,
yes,
virtually all of it was statutory.
Yeah.
The only thing I could have cut when I was looking at my budget was help to the voluntary sector,
mm-hmm.
who we needed more than ever, especially because they were brilliant during COVID and before and after. And I think that was about the only thing I could cut. Pest control service, but...
That wasn't functioning anyway.
It wasn't functioning as we wanted it anyway. So and it wasn't cut because of the cost. It was cut because it wasn't functioning properly. So, and a lot of the departments are like that. The statutory duties, we charge for the green waste, which didn't go down at all well in Whitnash. We've got lots of big gardens in Whitnash. We're lucky.
Composting, it's not a problem.
I compost and put stuff in the green bin, but, a mixture of both. But it's not a thing we have to do. It's not a statutory function. And the only way we were going to afford to do it was to charge.
Mm.
And what we did as a group, Conservatives and Whitnash residents resisted putting it up as much as we could and tried to keep it as low as, lower than Stratford's, which we've managed to do. But we still have to charge.
Mm.
Otherwise, we can't afford to run
Otherwise,
the service.
The service wouldn't be.
No, it wouldn't happen. Yeah. So,
if the government comes good, of course, we'll get it for nothing.
Well,
yeah.
That was another reason to do it now. So,
I smile too.
But I think there were some tough decisions like that needed to be made, but they were also helping us move things, for example, like the food waste. That is big, big plus as far as saving carbon emissions, and it's capturing a whole lot of value that we're not now having to import as much fertilizer from Mr. Putin, and we are generating electricity from that, and that is a positive all round. But you've got to go through change, and that's painful for many people, I think, when you come to it. When you think we've got a big local plan coming up now, we've started the South Warwickshire local plan, haven't we, Alan? Gone through that first two steps, I believe, and had people nominating sites, etc., which will be assessed by the team. What's your thoughts around the South Warwickshire local plan? Because the last one that we're living with now was a really, really contentious piece of work in council.
I mean, I think it'd be contentious anyway. And while Labour Party say we're going to give numbers and we're going to build on Greenbelt, we're going to do everything else, and then next week they might change their mind, is there's a lot of uncertainty there.
Mm.
Now, my view on the new plan is we can either tack things on to the towns and villages we've got, or you can go new.
Mm.
And I think, and there has been a bit of a discussion across the country, is actually, should we now be building about 14 new towns?
New towns,
And more actually create them better, so you've got your Milton Keynes. I'm not saying Milton Keynes is brilliant, but it actually works.
Mm.
And there's space to do that. And I think on a small scale in the South Warwickshire plan, there are places where we can, but there are places where you could actually have small towns. And I'm talking about small towns, not big villages.
Yeah.
So they need to have all the backup support for them.
So big enough to have a secondary school.
Yeah.
Okay, and sustainable transport, 20-minute neighbourhoods, all those sort of wonderful things, but actually a brand new town. So
I think that's the only way we don't destroy what we've got.
Okay.
Yeah, it's difficult. As I said, we haven't got a lot of land left in Whitnash to build on now, so because we're a green field and not green belt. But I'm inclined to think a new town, as long as they've got the infrastructure. That's always been the argument with all the building. We get the infrastructure way down the line from, there isn't the schools, there isn't the doctor's surgeries, there isn't the transport links. I think Mike and Heathcote or Europa Way is a case in point, that we realise we need a cycleway now to the school because everybody's having to get in their cars and go the long way around to the school. So we've got to find ways of putting the infrastructure in at the same time or very close to the same time. So,
and one of the challenges, I mean, we did in Kenilworth as a district council do something quite extraordinary, and that was to step in and forward fund the building of Kenilworth School. So it is there ahead of the houses being built. And that's going to be because communities are built out of schools, aren't they? That's where the parents meet, where the clubs meet, etc. Whereas on my patch in Bishop's Tatchbrook, we've had all these houses being built along Harbury Lane and also over in Whitnash, actually. But the school is only now being built, delayed, of course, 2 years because of COVID. But nonetheless, that's created a lot of pressure, I think, in those communities. Unfortunately, it's a really good little primary school, but secondary schools are where the action, particularly with the shared facilities, shared sports facilities. And not having that in place first, I think, is a disadvantage. So going in the new plan, infrastructure funding has got to be top of the list. How do we get the infrastructure in first, not last? But look, we've got, I mean, that's a chunky piece of work that's going to be interesting with a general election in the middle of it as well, somewhere in that. We've also got, and it's part of the dynamics where I'm briefing the new administration, there's all the relationship with the other authorities. So the West Midlands Combined Authority, our neighbouring authorities, whether it's the County Council or, you know, or Coventry City Council, really important relationships. There's going to be quite a deal there. What's your thoughts about the devolution deal we had for Andy Street and I always want to say YMCA, thanks to Chris Elliott, but the West Midlands Combined Authority, not the YMCA. What's your thoughts there? Do you think we're going to be seeing more of the West Midlands Combined Authority for Warwick District, or do you think where our place is outside?
Strangely for Whitnash, who aren't, as you know, party political at all, or you know, we concentrate very much on Whitnash, we've always talked about working with a combined authority because they're the ones that get the money for the roads and for things like trains. Yeah. We could have a station at
Whitnash,
you know, Deppers Bridgeway, commuter station.
It's a bit of a slope. We probably can't start.
Oh yeah, they might not. And we've always said that, you know, we need to look. Again, we're still keen on a North and South Warwickshire unitary, but North and South, we don't know if a whole one would. We need to have the evidence whether it would work as a whole one or a North and South one.
Yeah.
But the government devolved the money to the West Midlands combined. We need to be in it. We need to be involved in it. We need to you know, the deal for Coventry with the, around the airport. Will bring a lot of business and work for local people, both Coventry and in Warwick District. So again, something we said, we're very keen to support things that will bring work for our residents.
Yeah, it is about jobs.
It is about jobs. The only way we're going to help people out of not having enough money is to give them better jobs to go to or a job to go to, and then that will help everything. So, and usually for Whitnash, who normally is very, care about Whitnash, we've thought long and hard about West Midlands Combined.
It's interesting, you've been having those debates.
Yeah.
Alan, your thoughts about the Combined Authority?
Well, I always liked Advantage West Midlands because that seemed to work.
Yeah, it did.
And then they got rid of that and brought in these combined authorities, and of which we're on the outside where we should be on the inside. And I think the issue there is we're so close to Coventry on the boundary, and you could get this light railway, for instance, coming to the boundary and stopping because it's not funded. And I think with the sort of increased funding that's going in, but it's been spread around everywhere instead of specific projects. So the combined authority members are likely to get the biggest dibs at it.
Of course.
And we probably won't get anything. Yeah. Let's hope that's not the case, because we can't afford to be left behind. And where Warwickshire really suffers is having Coventry splitting it in half. And that's why that on the unitary it needs to be a north and a south. Or heavens above, it could be Coventry and Solihull and the rest of Warwickshire. So actually starting to rebuild Warwickshire, and then perhaps Warwickshire Cricket Club could play in Warwickshire.
And all of Warwick University could be in Warwickshire.
So, you know, there are lots of things which can happen. There's lots of commitments being made by the two main parties who are likely to either run in government or likely to form government. But there's nothing solid.
It's interesting because locally, I know when I was as leader, I was arguing the case for the dualling of the railway line from Leamington to Coventry. It's about £350 million project. Only way that's ever going to happen is with the West Midlands Combined Authority. Now, the benefit of that is that you could have a university railway station. You could then put people on trains instead of buses because there's 6,000 students living in Leamington. I know the numbers are plateaued. They're not growing up as they were, but nonetheless, that's an awful lot of bus trips, even if people are only going infrequently. But you'd then have a viable railway service where you can run fast and stopping services between Leamington and Coventry. Now, I think that might have a bit more traction than previously. It would make a big difference to Leamington, and it would make a big difference to the university as well, because they would then be able to get more students there on trains. But we're not going to get anything like that without the combined authority. And actually, your points both are absolutely spot on. South Warwickshire is the second largest economy, effectively, in the West Midlands. So why we're not in the combined authority is ridiculous. And also, I think there is a point about size. I saw some news today about difficulties for Birmingham City Council, and there have been many over the years. That's one of the biggest local government authorities, if not the biggest, in the country.
It's biggest in Europe.
It doesn't strike me as being overly functional, and I don't mean to be rude, but they've obviously got issues, and I think scale doesn't help them. Why you would want a county-wide unitary at 900,000, you know, is Birmingham. 600,000 would be Warwickshire. It isn't going to help us, I think, understand.
No, it's too big. Birmingham is. I mean, I've worked there a few times on political campaigns.
Yeah.
And the argument I've had with parties over there is it's too big. And it needs to be more like GLC was.
Yeah.
Where you've got your boroughs below it.
Below it. So.
Because the problem is, they've got problems with social services and all the rest of it. When you look at the number of social workers they've got reporting into one head of service, it's never going to work.
No.
Because it's too big.
It's too big. It's unmanageable. Well, look, since we finish off, welcome your thoughts about hopes and wishes, really, for this next 4 years for our administration ahead. Is there things from your perspectives, both from Whitnash and Leamington Lillington sort of perspective, and then more broadly for the authority, what would you hope we could, if we were sitting down in 4 years' time, be able to say we did?
Well, finish Kenilworth Leisure.
Yeah.
Because that way then all Warwick, Kenilworth, Leamington and Whitnash, to a certain extent,
completes the whole plan.
I'd like to see that finished. Certainly with Whitnash, Andrew knows I do jigsaw. There's bits of Whitnash that still need some work, still need some facilities, and I hope that will happen. You know, I'm very keen on cycleways, so, you know, which is more of a county and district work together. We'd love to get some to our schools in Whitnash. We certainly want to, you know, become carbon neutral, which things we haven't been able to do. But again, it's very difficult for a small town council to do on their own.
Yeah.
And we haven't got the massive amount of money that will go into places like Kenilworth because of the new building.
Yeah.
We got some funded. We got our civic centre, but we haven't got other things. I hope the district does become carbon neutral. I think if we can preserve the services as we've always tried to and not cut, we've always looked at, as Chris Elliott always says, Chief Exec, it's easy enough to save money, just cut a service. Cut a service. But then our residents are not getting as much for their bucks.
Yeah.
So if we can maintain what we've got and do it even better, that's great. So I think, you know, it'll be an interesting 4 years. There's things to finish. The Spencer Yard, and I always tell Andrew that I was baptised in the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
So I feel it's mine.
There's a spot marked.
I was baptised there, and having seen it, I haven't seen it recently, but having seen what they're going to do there is fantastic.
Should be opening this summer.
Yeah. And Alan will remember. Is it at least 20 years, Alan, that we've been trying to sort out that end of the town? That'll be good if we can do that. Can't wait to see Lillington Hub. Health Hub, because Lillington's sort of second place in my heart. I haven't worked there for quite a while.
Yeah.
It would be good to see that done. And the Packmoors, mm-hmm. again.
Yeah. Another good.
Very much community-minded. I think, you know, there's some that, they're good community projects,
yeah.
which will assist everybody. We've got good community centres in Sydenham, Brunswick, Whitnash, mm. you know, The Gap. Mm. And I'm hoping to do some work with all of us getting together and mm-hmm. do some work with that. Through the communities team. So, I think, finish off what we've done. We've got almost to the finishing line. Start thinking some new ones and, see how we go.
Very good. That's plenty on a long list. Mm. It goes quite quickly, the 4 years, doesn't it? Mm.
It does indeed. I mean, we need to see, talking from the council point of view, from the start off, yes, I'm leading the opposition, but it needs to be constructive opposition mm. and it needs to be listened to.
Yeah.
We won't be, I mean, if we want to have a punch up, we can, but that doesn't achieve anything.
No.
We want to carry on doing things.
Agreed.
And I think that's important. I think I want to see Leamington really decide the town centre. What is it going to be?
Mm.
And are we encouraging the games industry? Yes, we are. It's been one of the biggest in the country, but does anyone know that apart from us?
Mm.
Probably not, because you look at, they talk about Dundee, they talk about everywhere else, but they never talk about Royal Leamington Spa.
Yeah.
And you think, where have we gone wrong there?
Mm.
And then you've got the issues of Leamington, of all the listed buildings and all the conservation. I'd like to see some billboards up, which are moving.
Mm.
Shows that we've moved on
and
that we've really changed, which is why I think the square is a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be Bode Square, but that would be nice. but a square there would actually be good. And I think within the Lillington area, we want to maintain the gap between us and Covington,
mm-hmm.
so they are distinctive. I don't like this bit like, we don't want everywhere to be like Whitnash,
yeah.
which as I disparagingly call it, a suburb of Leamington.
Have I got to work with them?
Which is very controversial. Well, that's what it looks like to an outsider. Mm.
It's what happens, though, when you don't fight for that point of separation between settlements. And unfortunately, it was lost. And once it's lost forever.
We did fight the local plan.
Mm.
We put it out there. Other people now claiming, you know, this, that and the other. We actually
need the strength of Green Belt.
We were told, and certainly where Mallory Grange is, the inspector first said, no, you can't build on there on the previous local plan. And then we've got loads of houses on there now because we're green field.
Well, it used to be in Bishop's Tatchbrook, if you remember.
It did, yeah. And we got it. Well, we offered to take Warwick Harbour, Warwick Gates, but they didn't listen. But, you know, there is, those of us who've lived there a long time, I've been on the borders all my life. There was a separation between Warwick, Leamington and Kenilworth.
Mm.
Warwick, Leamington and Whitnash, and there isn't now.
Mm.
So we have to fight and maintain our identity.
Mm. That's a fair point.
Well, yeah, I think that's important.
Mm.
And I think from a Lynn's point of view, we've got lots of community buildings, but they're all of the 60s.
Yeah.
Mm. And we've got the community centre, which is shared with the children's centre. Well, the children's centre's not big enough. That really needs to be children's centre.
Mm.
The youth clubs are working okay, but wants doing up a bit. But as a community centre, there isn't anywhere. I've run community groups and cafes, which are still running.
Mm.
Actually, in Acorn Court, which is part of the council's housing, but it's off the drag.
It's off
yes.
the, yeah. Yeah.
It needs to be in the cluster where we are.
Yeah.
So it's whatever we can do with that. But certainly, the health centre's coming on the street.
Mm.
And it looks big, but we don't think it'll look big when it's clad. Oh, but it's got big trees around it, so it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll sit well.
And that'll serve all of Lillington and Covington, because there's nothing.
No.
Medical-wise. Mm. One doctor surgery.
And it brings people in to attend to that, and that then gets the local shops supported. They could visit the library, they could do other things.
Mm.
And as you say, it starts to bring life back into the middle.
Yes.
It's a model we could use.
There were some great plans for up by the tall block of flats, which was in
Eden Court.
There was some in infancy when I was the portfolio holder, but I'm hoping that may still come to the forefront because we, in the last local plan, we did want to try and take some of the land there out of Greenbelt to provide the facilities for that area of Lillington. But there are some plans again now, but of course it will depend on as ever on funding.
Yeah, I think the issue is now that the flats have had millions spent on them because of fire prevention work. Okay, there's an issue with two of the other flats.
Yes.
which may or may not be as serious. It was interesting because I said to them, there's actually been three lots of insulation on here and they didn't know about this one.
But that's a big thing for the new administration.
It is.
You know, Christian Leisure Square has got to come down.
I know.
And that's what people have asked for it to come down. And that's got to be done, which is an expensive thing to do, knock it down and then rebuild.
And then re-provide. It's there is a long to-do list. I think there's many good projects moving forward that the new administration can pick up. And I know you're both going to be champions for your own particular areas, as I will for mine. But working cooperatively, I liked what you said there, Alan. I think we've got to, in a constructive way, support this administration to get on.
When they're wrong, we tell them they're wrong.
Yeah, but that's because we don't want the wrong outcomes, and no more than they would want the wrong outcomes. But
and we're telling them they're wrong through experience.
It will be.
We've been there, done that, learned from experience.
But equally, I think we can benefit from new ideas and a new approach and new perspectives. So I'm open to seeing what those contributions are like as well.
I think on this council, I've never, ever said consciously, we tried that and it didn't work.
No, I understand.
I've never said that.
No.
I have. I probably have. But again, you know, when this last administration came in, there was people on the cabinet who weren't experienced, but they were experienced in the field. It's just making them understand that local government does not work like
business. No, it's not like a business. No. It's a challenge to get things changed as quickly as you might like to, but there's a lot of ambition and that's, I think, in our new councillors, you know, it brings new energy and hopefully we can use that to good purpose. But look, can I just say that was a very quick near hour from a chat. We could go on, I'm sure. But thank you, Councillor Judy Felt and Councillor Alan Bode, for joining us and for your contributions today at The Local Point. We've covered a lot of ground there, but I hope our residents have found that longer narrative interesting. Appreciate your time. Thanks for coming to The Local Point.
Thank you.
It's been great having you join our conversations today. Please share any comments or pose questions for future episodes by email to localpoint@icloud.com. Thanks for joining us.